All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, Ryo. Everyone, I'm thrilled to be here. These meetings in Vegas have been very much a part of my recovery, and so I'm really glad to be here. So, thanks for asking. What I was like, I have to say, I'm Kara compulsive eater food addict. I don't even know if I said that, but I make the joke a lot of times that I was 4 and then I was fat. I mean, I was this cute little kid, but definitely have been carrying weight pretty much my whole life. And most of my childhood has been the ups and the downs. For me, sneaking food started really early in my childhood, and became kind of a bone of contention, in particular with my mom. I'm an East Coast kid. I grew up in New York. My mom was a dancer, a professional dancer, and also, in fact, was my dance teacher. I had a grand love of dance, but my mom kind of squashed that love in some cases. And was very much on me about my food. So I just had a lot of ups and downs through high school. Did every diet known to man. I've done Nutrisystem. I've done everything that was on Star Magazine, anything. And it was usually with my mom. And this program, I will say, has taught me a lot around and helped me have a relationship with my mom, which has been a bumpy road through the many years. But so I'm grateful to this program for many reasons. So after high school, I decided that I wanted to get far away from my family. And so I headed off to college, and I saw some weight gain that first, semester, first year, between some of the activities that students, college students engage in, and then really felt bad about myself. And so I started actually, I had saved up a money and started working. I was actually working 3 jobs, but I decided to do Jenny Craig, and I actually ended up working for the company, and I had some good success there, and I got to kind of a plateau. Like I was feeling really good, but I got to a plateau. Had a friend who was doing personal training with me, was really in a good place. But that plateau in a company like that wasn't necessarily great. And so my manager was kind of pressuring me. And so I unfortunately decided to leave Jenny Craig completely. And then the weight went back up. And that was really unfortunate. I then decided to go to graduate school, and I went to graduate school in the mountains of North Carolina. And summers and winters, there was a lot of weight gain, all of the things that you do in summers and winters. Even participated in a study about weight loss, and we were in one of those chambers where they measure body fat. Like, I mean, there was like some extreme things, I've done, to try to lose weight. And I will say that my disease really was the worst when I was in graduate school. And I say this because I'm in education and I was learning all. I mean, I knew everything there was to know about eating disorders and about, good eating, not good eating. And it didn't seem to matter. And so I learned that I had disordered eating. That's what I had kind of, subsided on. And so it was interesting because I just thought that was like, a thing. I didn't know about compulsive eating, but I sure know now I was doing it because, I would go and I would cook things for my team. Like I'd go to the store and buy sweet things for my team. And I would have to go back to the store because when I got home and I was baking it, I'd eat it all. And so I'd have to go back and get it again to actually give it to my team. And so again, lots of binge eating around that time. Around that time, after I finished graduate school, I decided to move all the way across the country to San Diego. And here's a picture of me during that time. And this is back in 1999, just before I came to CHOW. So that was back in summer of 99, and I came to CHOW. I had gone back to Jenny Craig, and I actually met somebody who told me about CHOW. And I can't explain to you why I decided to go to that meeting. I guess, as we all know, I was desperate and I really wanted to get, a solution. And so I went to my first CHOW meeting. I will never forget how welcomed I felt in that space. I was hugged. I was treated special. I was given, like, it was just such a welcoming environment. And I saw mostly women who were in, they were teachers and they were business people and they were kind of these normal looking, and they were all mostly thin and happy and sharing their story. And I remember that night they said, "Don't, just check us out. Like, don't commit to us yet. Just check us out. Come to a few more meetings." Came to a few more meetings, and my third meeting, which was the Saturday meeting in San Diego, my first sponsor came up to me and said, "I'd love to be your sponsor. Would you like to do this?" And I just said, "Yes, like sign me up." I wasn't an easy case. I fought a lot of things. I fought the whole like alcohol thing. I was like, "That's not my issue." And then I was like, "I don't understand why I'm fighting that. I don't do well with alcohol anyway, so no big deal." I fought a little bit of the move plan. But for the most part, I really just said, "Just whatever you're doing, you seem to have a lot of like, you're skinny, you fit in great clothes. Like, I want to be you." And my first sponsor, I still call her to this day the mom I never hated. It's kind of a joke between us, and she's still very much a part of my life and a part of my recovery. So I was in CIHAW in San Diego for about a year and a half, and then I moved to Florida for a job. And at that point, I got married. And so I was about a year, about 2.5 years into program and very much into maintenance. And this is me on my wedding day. I was so happy. I felt so good. And I made sure that at my wedding, I had what I needed, that during my wedding day, like my bridesmaids knew, like you need to eat your three meals. You need to do these things. And I was willing to do whatever. And it was a really great day. And I felt really good. When I moved to Florida back in those days, we didn't have Zoom meetings, and so I had tried to find as close to possible to stay connected with my program. I tried some other of our A friends, some better than others, and some really close. And so I was able to maintain my weight loss in total for about 9 years. I was able to maintain, my abstinence and my weight loss. And then I went ahead and I moved back to San Diego a few years later. And I was so excited because the first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to come back to see how. I was like, "I'm coming back to my meetings. This is great. This is wonderful." And so I came back, and then about a year in, I got pregnant with my daughter. And well, that was the beginning of the end. I still remember the first bite that I took. And that was just rolled over. So, pregnant with my daughter, had my daughter, gained quite a bit of weight. And then I said, "Okay, well, as soon as my daughter's born, I'm gonna go back to see how." Well, guess what? I didn't do that. I ended up, I kind of continued in my eating, and I ended up joining. I started my doctoral program here in San Diego, and I joke that I put on the doctoral 40, like the freshman 15, you amplify that to the fresh to the doc 40. And I put that a whole bunch of weight on. And I started out when I came in to see how I was about 211 pounds. That's the last time I got on the scale. And when I came back to see how I had just about almost hit a little bit over 200 pounds. And so I was definitely back pretty close to where I was. And it was my old sponsor who never left my side. She never like gave up on me. She kept calling me and checking in on me. And so she said, "Why don't you come back to program?" And at that point, I kind of looked like this. So I had again blown right back up. So, at first I was like, "I don't want to do this. It's too big. I'm too busy. I can't do all the meetings. I can't do all the phone calls. I just can't. I can't. I can't." And then one day I looked at myself in the mirror and realized I was miserable. And what other choice did I have? Because guess what, folks? CIHAW was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I remembered all the recovery that I had. And so I came back to the program. And I'm so grateful. And within about a year and a half, I was back to my kind of abstinent weight, my maintenance weight. And so I came back in January of 2019. And I'm so grateful I came. I think God knew way better than I did what I needed at the time. Because obviously 2019, lots of things happened. First of all, I had moved my grandparents. We had moved them from Florida to live with us. My grandfather was very sick, and we cared for him until he passed away in January of 2020. And so the first, certainly, see how got me through that. I didn't break my abstinence. I stayed strong, and I maintained. Then, of course, we all know what happened in 2020 because that was fun for everyone. And I still cannot believe that I stayed out of the kitchen. I was working from home. I'm a university administrator, and it was a very difficult time for everyone, but certainly we in the environment that I was in for work, it was constant pressure and decisions and not knowing what we were doing and all sorts of things. And so, working from home, I was literally right by my kitchen. And so I certainly could have done a lot of damage, but I didn't. And I, this whole, see how suddenly became, via Zoom. And that became great because I could go to a lot more meetings than I could even in our blessed live meetings of San Diego. And so, got through COVID. My grandmother then was living with us, and it was getting much more challenging to care for her as well. And so, being this caregiver person, really changed. Then I lost my dad, and I lost another dear family friend of ours, which really kind of threw me for a loop. Then again, the caregiving for my grandmother got more difficult, and we had to make sure we had to find a facility to place her in. And that was really hard because my grandparents for me, I talked about my mom. My grandparents for me, they were very much like my parents for a very long time. My parents had to deal with some other stuff in their lives, and my grandparents were like parents to me. So I was willing to do anything for them, but grandma really started to need more care. So we had to decide in a facility, and by the grace of God, financially, we could do it, and emotionally, we could do it, and she's in really great care. And she's rocking 95, and so she, yeah, I know. So she's rocking 95, and so I still go and take her all her appointments and hair, nails, the whole nine yards. She's really feisty, fun, And then the other thing, my mom, since my dad's death, has certainly had some challenges, and so. And then a neighbor, good friend of ours, someone I also see as kind of a surrogate mom, was taken from our lives, unfortunately. So this year has been crap. It's been an absolute, like, literally, in about 10 days, I celebrate this year of crap. And so it's just been a really hard time. And if there was ever a time that I thought I would walk away from this program, or not even walk away from the program, just like shove food in my face, like the last year, any of that time could have been the time. But this program is so great because all of the folks that were a part of my See How World came and supported me through everything, right? And reminded me of the value of the tools, or reminded me of a higher power. So my higher power I found in this program. When I first came here, the place I was at before I came to See How was very much where I lived. It was very much like, you believe a certain way or you're going to hell. And that was certainly not the way I was wanting to go and find God, right? That didn't seem like a very nice God. And I had had inconsistent versions of God my whole life. So I loved to see how it created this, higher power. There was no pressure. And I was able to find God on my own, with the See How friends and, and everything. And I've found that higher power. I also learned humility in this program, which is not an easy thing, not an easy pill to swallow. And it really helped me know that I need to ask for help. Now, I'm a very independent person, so sometimes God has to nudge me, kick me in the rear, whatever it looks like, to make sure that I trust him, that I believe in him, and that I ask for his support and guidance. So that's, really where I am today. The tools for me, obviously, the food plan. I have certainly tightened up on my food plan. This aspect of maintenance, I've been on maintenance for a few years now, and I've seen, unfortunately, because I'm at that age of, I just call it the pause, because I don't know what frame I'm in, but it's a thing, right? And so there's been this like weight issue, and there's like my body is settling in weird ways. And so that's a reality, right? And so I've had to tune into my food. I've had to let go of, and I'm so proud of myself, I let go of sweeteners. I never would have imagined that I could rid my life of sweeteners, but I mean, I was able to let go of those as well. And I know we're allowed to have them on the plan, but I was getting to a point where they were becoming an addiction, where I was drinking more of them than, say, like coffee. So there's like, those issues, and I've had to give those up. I've had to give up other foods that are on the food plan that I would love to eat again, but I just know I can't define a handful from a canful. So there's things I just have to, let go of in my world. And of course, I can't get, more food because obviously so I have to manage what proteins I have to get more protein and the things that I need to be healthy. And I've added an exercise routine. And I will tell you, I get up at a ridiculous hour in the morning to do my exercise, but I found this amazing community, and I'm doing strength training, and like I'm doing all the right things. But it all starts with this foundation of see how. And I know that if for any reason I were to walk away, I would seriously have a pro, like I would probably just quit everything. I don't even know that I'd leave my house. So I've really had to tighten up my food, making sure I'm weighing and measuring, and I am weighing absolutely everything. I had to put down, I used to go out and eat a lot, because that was, comfortable and got lazy during that really busy time. And I really had to make sure that I stopped doing those things because that is not good for me either. And so, it might sound, and to many, I have friends on those shots, no offense to them, but they have literally said to me, "Well, I haven't done anything hard. You've done the hard things. I've taken the easy way." And okay, great. I know that's not for me. I know that I need something that's going to be forever because it's the food that's the problem for me. It's not the weight. That's just a thing. The food is the problem for me. And so I'm very grateful. As far as the rest of the tools, I'm good at meetings. I'm not great at phone calls. I'm great at writing and reading. Service. I just took another service position yesterday, which tells me I'm doing good because when I volunteer for service, that means I'm in a good place, right? So I know that I'm hopefully coming out of this season of really challenging times. And it's because I've really leaned into this program and made sure that I'm doing the things that I need to be doing because when I do them, I know I'm that much better. My sponsor is amazing. She's hilarious. She laughs at me at the crazy chaos. It's like this free counselor I get to talk to every morning, and I can't thank her enough for being and listening. And she just goes, "I can't even imagine." And I just have to laugh at it, right? And then my sponsees, I'm so grateful for my sponsees because, they certainly support me and they remind me and they get me up out of bed and again, we share our challenges and we're all experiencing the challenges. And that's what I love about this program. So no one's better, no one's worse. Maybe you have longer abstinence, but maybe, we all have different challenges in life. And so, so I'm just absolutely grateful to this program. It has been a miracle in my life. When I do make outreach calls or I answer an outreach call, I know I should make more of them because they really are a blessing. They are like mini meetings. And the other thing that this program has taught me in my writing is to do a gratitudes and an abundance list. So obviously the gratitudes, right? And then this abundance of all the things I'm fearful of, because I deal still with fear. And all the things that I've used in this program that I've learned in the 12 steps, and I do believe everyone should have a 12-step program. I'm just saying the 12 steps are really great for I think fun for everyone. But a lot of the things that I use in my program and I've learned, I've been able to apply in my work, in my home. I pray before I have conversations with folks. I weigh and measure the aspects of relationships I have with people. I accept my mom for where she is, and I manage that relationship carefully because I have to weigh and measure that, how often I call, setting myself for those conversations because I never know what's coming. Same with my grandma, 95. Dementia's you never know which grandma you're going to get, and sundowners is real and all of that. So again, I've just learned how to adapt to that. And I couldn't do those things without a clear head. So that, I don't need to go on for another minute 35. I think I've talked long enough, but just really grateful to be here. Thank you, Ryo, for inviting me. And everybody, thanks for being here. I know so many faces I've been to at these Vegas meetings, and I look forward to someday meeting more of you in person. Maybe not when it's 116 degrees, but maybe sometime when it's cooler weather, I'd love to come to one of the in-person meetings. So, thanks for letting me share. That's me.